Ramsey TV.
Who knows? Who knows what sounds of the night will come to us here as I sit outside with my computer on my table on the patio and speaking with you very intimately here about an intimate topic. As you can see, a title you don't often see from a scripture guy. But yes, you expect nothing less from me, the host of MZTV. I am Martin Zender. Now, I know I promised you a political video on the 21st. I am going to defer that for now. I'm going to let some things shake out, but I will deliver as promised. I always do. But for now, I have to tell you a tale. I have to tell you a tale. And this is a tale that will lead to scriptural points. It will lead to help and deliverance for some of you. Many of you are already aware of these things. But there's always confusion in the realm of sexual behavior, sexual practices in relation to the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because religion has screwed up everything. Religion screws up our understanding of God, and it has certainly screwed up the topic of sex. In fact, as I've told you, Satan has used sexuality to, well, what he has used it for is a false enemy that Christians attack. And while they are fighting this false front, attacking sex as evil, as dirty, as unapproved by God, except for certain avenues that we in the church will fill you in on, while they're shooting their arrows at this straw man target, they are forwarding the most hideous teachings known to humanity, namely human free will, eternal torment, and the Trinity. So, Juliana and I have this mutual friend, and she doesn't generally watch my videos, but even if she did, I'm not going to say her name, but her experience will be helpful. We had a conversation with her the other day. Now, what she did, are you ready for this? She was on an online dating service, and she was talking to this guy for a long time. And she decided that she was going to marry the guy. Are you ready for this? Sight unseen. Based only on conversations they had on the internet. Let me just say this, that they lived quite a distance apart and it was inconvenient to meet for a long time. And so they continue this relationship, this cyber relationship. Of course, we all know that you don't really get to know a person electronically as you do meeting them face to face, looking them in the eye. It's a dangerous proposition. So I was shocked to hear that this woman, my friend, was engaged to this guy that she never met. Well, I saw her last week and I hadn't heard any different, so I came up to her and I said, I hear that congratulations are in order. And she said, oh, you didn't hear? No, what happened? Well, we met? Yes. And it's off. Oh, but look at my ring. Oh, that's a nice ring. Well, she showed me a picture of it because she returned the ring to the suitor, who was quite disappointed. How do these things happen? Why do these things happen? I pursued the answer because I needed to know. I said, what the hell were you thinking? And she said this, I am desperate for a husband. I said, well, that's kind of obvious. Can I ask you why you're desperate for a husband? And she said, I love sex. Okay, I said, fair enough. Yes, I understand that. You want the embrace of a man, of course. A man wants the embrace of a woman also. But I said, I said, Art, let me ask you this. I said, well, before I tell you what I said, when she saw my incredulity, she said, Martin, I know what you think, that it's okay to have sex before marriage. And you have no scriptural evidence of that. I said, yes, I do. I have Leviticus chapter 20. All the sexual sins are listed in Leviticus chapter 20. And I don't see anything. And I told her that. She knows I believe this. There's nothing that prohibits two single people from having sex. And see, the Catholic Church has ruined so many people's lives. Why? Because they treat sexual intercourse like a sacrament. And as soon as you do it, then the altar boy rings the bell and you're automatically married and you have to marry that person. Do you know how many people who, in the Catholic faith, were forced to marry even though they knew they weren't compatible? They had a night of passion, a night of passionate love. And because of that, they looked around and their parents and the Catholic Church and the priest and all the nunnies, they said, you now have to marry this person. So out of guilt, out of religious compulsion, they married this person, ruined their lives. They were never supposed to marry this person. But they did out of religious fear, out of wrong information. Wow, what do you know? Wrong information coming from the world of religion? How shocking. How shocking is that? Now, having said that, marriage is an ideal place for the sexual union. I'm going to talk about 1 Corinthians here. But Paul says, joining with a prostitute, the two become one flesh. Joining with any woman, you become one flesh. But watch how this works. I'm going to show you something on the patio cam. You'll never see this anywhere else. You heard my recent talk from Missouri. Sex is a parable of humanity being reunited with God. Watch this. Watch this. One flesh, not one flesh. One flesh, not one flesh. When you put that in there, men, it's a picture of God being reunited with humanity. It's the genders coming together again, one flesh. But where does it say that becoming one flesh means that you enter into a covenant relationship with that person? Sexual intercourse and a covenant relationship are two different things, that I can prove this in the Hebrew scriptures. It's quite easy. There were wives and concubines, and I brought this up to our friend. I said, can you explain wives and concubines? The wives were entered into by the husband. They formed a covenant relationship, and then there were concubines who were not wives, and yet they were involved. They had a sexual relationship with the husband without becoming a wife. Well, she said, God overruled that. That doesn't apply anymore. I said, show me the verse where it doesn't apply anymore. You might say, Martin, are you pushing for the return of concubines? Hell yes, I am. Of course I'm pushing for it. It hasn't gone away. We do everything today based on our culture, not according to biblical truth, including polygamy and all that. Don't want to get into trouble here, but I'm not a polygamist myself. I don't endorse it, but show me where it's been canceled. Show me where it's been abrogated. I don't see it in the scripture. You got to show me the verse. Paul says, well, a supervisor has to be the husband of one wife. Okay, that proves that there was polygamy. A supervisor. Why did he just say a supervisor? It proves that it was common in that day, but he didn't want a supervisor. A specific role in the ecclesia. He wanted the supervisor to be a husband of one wife. Why did he have to say that if it was unusual for there to be men with multiple wives? Sorry, don't shoot the messenger. So I said, okay, you're rushing into this. You're rushing into relationships with men because you need to have sex because, okay, you don't think that you're allowed to have sex outside of marriage. Okay, I respect your belief. That's why you're doing this. But you're obviously very sexually frustrated. Sorry, don't mean to get personal, I said to her, but you seem very sexually frustrated. Well, maybe I am. Well, I said, surely you don't think masturbation is a sin. Oh, yes, it is. I was taken aback. I said, what? The Bible's against it. Where? Well, she didn't know where exactly it was. You see, she's the victim of a pastor who is completely wrecking her mind concerning what God allows, what God is good with, and the difference between that and what the official church says, what Christianity says. And I dare say even the law of Moses is more liberal than Christianity when it comes to sex. And I said to her, you can look in Leviticus chapter 20. I'm going to get to why I say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Because of prostitution. Wait till you hear the reason Paul gives why people should get married. Wait till you hear this reason. You're not going to believe it. I know you've read it many times, but many of you just don't often have it talked about like I'm doing with you now. I said, look at the sexual sins in Leviticus chapter 20. Not only is there not anything in there about two single people having sexual relations, but there's nothing in there about masturbation or anything. She goes, well, it's against. Okay, so you think it's against. Okay, so is it also wrong to even touch yourself? Yes. What? She goes, it's wrong to have any pleasure. Well, there you go. There's the Christian doctrine. I said, okay, you don't believe that people can have sex without marriage. Where do you draw the line? And she gave me this move. I said, very good, very good. Intercourse. So, can you hold hands? Well, yeah. Did you kiss this guy? Yes, I kissed him passionately. Oh, very good. Glad to hear it. Did you? No, nothing else. Okay, fair enough. I said, let's go back to this masturbation thing. So, is it just that you can't have an orgasm? Is that the problem? No, you can't even give yourself pleasure. God. I told my friend, I said, you need a vibrator. Because a vibrator is much easier than going through this rush you have to be with these men. You're getting involved with people that you're not compatible with because you're desperate, because you're sexually frustrated. You need a vibrator. Please let me get you one for Christmas. I'll get it with all the attachments and everything. Oh, she was appalled, although there was a little smile on her face. I didn't notice that, but other than that, I'm appalled. Okay, you're not really that appalled, are you? No, that's against all her moral laws that were implanted in her by the Christian religion, not by God. But this is the problem, and this is why I say to you, ladies, a vibrator is much easier than a man. I'm not saying that if you desire a man, you shouldn't have one. You shouldn't try to find one, but don't be in a rush because of sexual frustration. You can take care of that temporarily until you find a good man. But please, don't anybody be under the impression that God is against sexual release, that he's against masturbation or orgasms or even sex between two single people. And boy, she nailed me on that one. She said, oh, you just believe that to indulge your deviant lifestyle. I said, I don't have a deviant lifestyle. I'm not doing what I teach that is legal for people to do. I mean, it's just because a truth is a truth, what difference does it make what I do with it anyway? What difference does it make if I indulge it or if I don't do it at all? Truth is truth, and I'm defending the truth. I defend, for instance, the right of Americans to have and bear arms, the Second Amendment. I don't have a gun. Oh, Martin, you're just promoting the Second Amendment because you have an arsenal in your house. No, I don't even have a slingshot. But the law is the law, and the truth is the truth, so I'm defending the truth. So, of course, she referenced 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I am now going to tell you the reason Paul gives to get married. You're not going to believe it. And we had a discussion about this word. Here we go. Paul says, now concerning what you write to me, it is ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. So this is Paul's ideal. Paul says, if you want to stay out of trouble in this world, don't even touch a woman. Yeah, okay, great advice. I agree. That will avoid all sorts of trouble in your life. Not everybody can do it. So Paul says, well, the second thing then is to get married. But here's the reason that he gives. Because of prostitutions. What? Listen, because of prostitutions, let each man have a wife for himself and each woman have her own husband. Jeez, not really a Hallmark guy here, not really a Valentine's Day type of statement, because of everlasting love. Let every man have a wife and every wife have a husband, because of passionate desire. Let everyone get married. No, he says, because of prostitutions. What? In other words, because of, and let me define prostitution for you. My friend thought it meant what our modern culture has made it to be, which is paying for sex. That is not prostitution. You will find nothing in the list of sexual sins in Leviticus chapter 20 about paying for sex. There's one Hebrew word for a paying for sex prostitute. There's another one for a cult prostitute. A cult prostitute was very, very bad. That was a woman who worked in a temple, and having sex with her was a ritual, was a rite that would connect you with a false deity. The Concordant Version defines prostitution as unlawful intercourse between the sexes. You hear that word, unlawful? What does that mean? It goes back to the law of Moses, the strictest law of the land. We're not even under it. See, I'm not saying we're under the law of Moses. I'm just saying the law of Moses is more liberal than what you are hearing or what you used to hear in your Christian church and what my friend certainly has heard. You have to look at the context. Unlawful intercourse. What's unlawful? Leviticus chapter 20 will tell you. It's unlawful for a man to steal another man's wife. It's unlawful for people to have sex with relatives. It's unlawful for women to have sex with animals. And it is unlawful to commit idolatry with a cult prostitute. The sin is not the sex. The sin is the idolatry. Just like adultery. Adultery is not a crime of sex. It's a crime of stealing. God's cool with the sex as long as you're not having sex with family members or screwing a horse or a donkey. So her mind was so closed, I was going to get my Bible, go to Leviticus chapter 20, tell her all about it. I said, do you want to know what kind of prostitution Paul is against? Read first in this same book, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. There's a man who was having sex with his stepmother. That's a relative. That's an unlawful sexual union. Read chapter 10, verse 8. My God, in the Old Testament, God killed 23,000 people at one time. Why? Because they paid for a blowjob? Because they bought Playboys? Because they masturbated? Because they had vibrators? And no. Because they committed cult prostitution. 23,000 killed. Boom. It's idolatry. That's the sin. In Corinth, cult prostitution was rife. Not only that, but it was all over the place. So by the time we get down to, it's better to marry than to be on fire in verse 9. It is better to marry than to be on fire. My friend thinks, because she was taught this, that this means that marrying is the only outlet for sexual passion or sexual frustration or sexual, yeah, that. But what's the context? The context is because of prostitutions. Let every man have his own wife and every wife her own husband, because of prostitutions. So the being on fire here is not general sexual frustration, because that can be relieved by masturbation. That can be relieved by having sex, for God's sake. But the burning that Paul's talking about here is the burning to commit prostitutions. The fire, being on fire, that's what his concern is, because of prostitutions. Let everybody marry. So when you get down to verse 9, it should be obvious then that it's better to get married, references back to 1 Corinthians 7:1, than to be on fire. On fire for what? For committing prostitutions. They were doing this like crazy in Corinth. The believers, the believing men, were going into the cult temples. Because it was probably free. They didn't have to pay for it. And they were having sex with these cult prostitutes. And they were joining themselves with foreign deities. That was a no-no. I mean, if you want to get married, you need to get married. I told my friend this. You've got to get married. You should get married. But you're making bad decisions. You're rushing into things because you have a false idea of what you are and aren't allowed to do. And we're not even under the law of Moses. On top of that. So the prostitutions are severe things. It's not paying a woman for sex. No. You have to go to Leviticus chapter 20 if you want to know the sins Paul is referencing. Oh, and a man with a man who puts that in there, very bad, very bad. So I asked my friend, you know, where do you draw the line? Well, she draws it way before God does. I even tell homosexual men who write me with, like, Martin, what do I do about my problem? I said, just don't put that in there. Can you just not do that? Can just do other things if you have to. I don't want to hear about it, but just don't. And it's penetration where the sexual sin comes in, and only certain penetration. Women with animals, men with wives of other husbands, cult prostitution, for which God killed 23,000 people in the Old Testament. Look it up yourself. The reference is 1 Corinthians 10:8. These were the problems Paul was dealing with in Corinth. All this to say, for freedom, Christ frees you. I don't want people going out there being crazy. I don't want people to use up their freedom in Christ. Yes, use your freedom in Christ, but don't use it up. Be circumspect. Marriage is the ideal place for sexual intercourse, and I encourage anyone to get married if that's your heart's desire. But there are other ways that are perfectly legit until you can get married. So, again, in closing, better to marry than to burn. The burning is not general sexual frustration, because that can be relieved with something that is not unlawful anywhere unless you pervert scripture, like the sin of Onan, who withdrew. Remember, he went into his dead brother's wife and spilled his seed on the ground because he didn't want to give offspring to his dead brother's wife, which was part of the law. So God killed him instantly, not because he spilled seed, but because he broke the law by not giving his dead brother children. That's why. You got to look deeper. You got to look at the details. Our God is very sensitive, very caring, very careful about our needs. He understands our needs. He gave them to us. They're not wrong. And it's much better to believe God. And let God be true, though every man a liar.